Okay, good morning. I tell you what, whether all of this is of Satan or of God, I'm not really liking it. But that's the way that goes. And the early church had to battle through things, especially immediately after our Savior was crucified and resurrected and departed. And there are various places throughout the world right now, today, that are under suffering if they were to meet and glorify Jesus Christ. So this is going on throughout the world. And so we need to just spend some time in prayer and studying the Word. And I've been studying, working, especially we're getting ready to get, after we get through with redemption, which is taking us some time, but I don't care. It is so important that we understand the Word of God. That we understand what God is doing. And we're in the study of redemption, and we're not just going to cover it quickly. We're going to understand that. And then we're going to take a look at the blood of Christ. Very few people understand the blood of Christ. And few people are going to study it, especially in today's world, in COVID-19 and all of this. I'm going to. That's what I'm called for, that we can understand these things from the Word of God and apply them in our lives. So this morning we're going to continue the doctrine of redemption. And do we get through with it? I hope so. I don't know. And we'll just see how it goes. But I'm in no rush to be able to teach the redemption that we have in Christ. It's throughout the Word of God. It's in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, and that's where we're studying it. But let's get together and have a morning of worship together. Let's begin with a word of prayer. And now, here's another battle. I love hymns. Always have. I've not been able to be a good singer with them, but I've enjoyed them. And as a young boy, we had a choir at our church, and then we had a youth singing, and I went to that for a while. And I mean it for a while. Can you believe that a Baptist church would have the audacity? The audacity to say to the song, to a person that's there to sing, why don't you just join us at our parties and meetings and things, but not sing? And okay, you know, that's what you want. But I love it. And then I went to, from the Baptist church to Baraka church, and after a while, they had, they had a young youth choir on the morning, Sunday morning. And I'll never forget that first Sunday morning we all met there to sing. The pastor about this looked up and they saw me up there. And he said, "Herman, is that you? What are you doing up there?" And I said, "Yeah, it's me." And I didn't last long. But I love it. So what we're going to do in a moment is we're going to sing and just let it come out. Let it sing. But first of all, let's talk to the Lord, talk to the Father, and get our minds into a worship mode. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. Absolutely love you. We're so thankful for the assurance that we have in our lives, our debts, our future, all these things just assured of all of these things, Father. Difficult times with COVID-19, difficult time with all that's going on, but we love studying your word. We love worshiping you. We love getting with others. I'm thankful, Father, for the few that are here. I wish more would come. But we're here to worship you. And we pray, Father, that this morning be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, Brian, we're going to stand and sing. Why don't you lead us?
All right. Church, would you join me in number 334? Hymn number 334.
You come up and lead us.
Blessed Assurance. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Okay, I love that. Let me explain to you a little thing about church history. In the opening days of the 1900s, we were very dead as far as the study of the Word of God is concerned. And Lewis Berry Chaper founded Dallas Theological Seminary. He was going to go to Philadelphia, but things were worked out and he came to Dallas Seminary, which I'm thankful. And the story is really good and all that happened. But anyway, the purpose of it was to train men in all the churches, denominations, to go back, study and teach the Word of God in the various churches. But what happened, most churches did not want. That's the truth. Did not want Bible study. So here you've got these young men that, not many, but they were trained. And so what they did, they started what they call Bible church. They would just go to their town and hang up their little shindle and say, Bible church. Now, the history of Bible churches is interesting. One of the most one of the most tragics of it deals with the music. The Bible church is not known for its music. It's just not known for it. And other churches have great music, not much teaching. And Bible churches are directed toward the teaching, but have a lot left in wanting as far as singing worship is concerned. Now, today, many of them are changing. They're coming back to singing and all of that. They're leaving out the teaching. They're leaving that out. And it's a shame, because that's not the momentum of the church. Go study the open page, the beginning of the church age. It wasn't getting together and singing. It was getting together and looking at the Word, studying the Word, having communion. So we're a dying breed, in that we're just going to continue studying the teacher word, study the Word of God, and we're going to sing and do these things. We have various activities here at the church and for our young people, and so these are some things we're doing. But as far as I'm a pastor, it's always going to be studying the Word of God. So that's going to be what we're zeroing in on now. Now, let's talk about this morning. Wow, we are inundated with problems from members of this church. First of all, the Wises.
Brian
and Larry both were docked up that they did have COVID-19. Their older son, their older daughter, Mackenzie, did not. The younger son, the younger daughter, was maybe not, but she's gotten very well. Then we have Chris Daig and his wife and sons. He's okay. But he was marked with, found that he did have COVID-19. And so he is at home trying to get well. The Wises are at home trying to get well. Now, Phil and Pat. Now, they did not catch COVID-19. However, they did get with people that did have it, and so they are confined just to protect themselves and others. So he and she are not here this morning, but he was teaching, but he needs to be in our prayers. Then we've got Tish, not on COVID-19, but on two or three other major problems. The kidney and liver and different parts need your prayers. She needs your prayers. And we've got other young people, other people in the church that are getting over it, and we've got to be in prayer that the rest of us don't get it. Be in prayer for those that have not caught it. Thank God for it, and continue to God to protect them. Protect those who have gotten it and that have it, that they get well through this and move on into God's plan for their life. So we've got a lot of things going on in that respect. Now, these that I mentioned, do we have any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Okay, we've got these. Please be in prayer for all of these. Now, what's going on in Wichita Falls with...
Oh, you're talking about Cindy?
Cindy.
Well, she's not ill, but she had her daughter, Charlotte, is having some health issues, so been praying for her. And her son-in-law, who lives in, her oldest daughter lives in California, and her husband kind of having some issues just for the fact that he doesn't really want to be in California, and they're having to stay there because of his father.
Okay.
So those were her prayer requests. But Cindy's seems to be not, hadn't caught COVID and doesn't seem to be ill at the moment.
Well, we'll continue being in prayer for her in the battle that she's in. Now, what about Fran?
Fran, yes, Fran needs our prayers. She is...
Fran needs our prayers.
Yes, she's dealing with some serious issues.
Serious issues? Let's be in prayer. And so, any other prayer requests? Okay, we've got these. We need to be in prayer. Now, offering. Offering. It's always been a part of God's plan. Old Testament, age of the Gentiles, Old Testament, age of Israel, and now in the church age. God has always given the opportunity to people to offer, to give their offerings, to support the teaching and the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ in different ways. Now, this has been hurting here because of the time, because of the circumstances. So it's up to you, and I know some are hurting as far as their own individual finances, and I know that. So that's understood. We have a few things that we do need to be in prayer for and pay for. We meet this nice little room. We have the internet outreach. And I'll tell you what, I'm very thankful. Very thankful for the outreach that we do have on the internet. Do we have any idea about how many we have on the internet?
For January alone, it's not backing up to 95 like last year yet, because not everybody actually logs in.
Yes.
You know, they are remote. So we probably have to wait until the next quarter to see if the number actually comes up. Right now it's hovering about, 20, 30 less than
20, 30 less. 100, okay.
Yeah, I stopped counting the visitors, too many.
So about how much does that make us? About?
The peak that, I forgot to put it on the recording. The peak that we used to have before all of COVID and everything is 125.
125?
Countries.
100.
Countries.
Yeah.
Countries. Yeah, so last year we were down to 95 countries.
9,500.
95 countries.
100.
Countries.
No, countries. Countries.
Yes.
Not 100. Countries.
Hundreds.
We do this every day.
Countries.
Countries.
Oh, countries.
Yes.
All right. Very good. Thank you. My wife has the same problem at home.
And we do this every day.
Oh, that's very good. Okay.
Yeah, so right now we're hovering about 60, 70
countries. 60, 70 countries? Okay. We need to continue being in prayer for these people reaching, and we need to pray that it gets back open for more people to come and join with us in our study. Okay, any other requests or questions? Please remember to be in prayer and attention Wednesday night. Kit is doing an unbelievable job on the book of Judges. It is unbelievable. And there are very few pastors that can even begin to touch what Kit does on Wednesday evening with the book of Judges. So please bear that in prayer and in remembrance to join in and study. Okay, let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God. Get back to our study. First, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Let us pray. How grateful we are for the Word of God, Heavenly Father. It's not up to just us to figure out how we think, but to rest totally on the Word of God. Pray, Father, your Spirit will open our eyes to things you would have us to see and understand. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name for His glory. Amen. All right, we are in the midst of studying the doctrine of redemption, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Now, we've moved up away, but just to get us going to momentum, we started off with definition and description. The definition of redemption. A lot of people sing it, say it. Very few people understand it in the way that we're looking at it from the Word of God. Now, in the doctrine of soteriology, that's a doctrine of salvation, are three key words: redemption, reconciliation, propitiation. Redemption is about sin. Reconciliation toward mankind. Propitiation toward God. Three great issues in regard to our salvation. Now, we spent some time in taking a look at the definition and description. Then we went to Roman numeral 2, etymology. That's a 50-cent word meaning definition. Biblical. From the Greek. And we're looking at the Greek word. And it really means redeemed from. The word means to let go free for ransom. Don't forget that. It's to let go free of something for ransom. Now what we're going to look at is what we're free from: sin. The ransom, Jesus Christ, our Savior, crucifixion. So we spend some time in that regard. We noted there are several words that are part of the domain of redemption, to pay a ransom. What is interesting about this word is that it is not used of the one who pays the ransom, but him who receives the ransom. And so we've spent some time in that regard. Then we went to Roman numeral 3. Roman numeral 3, all mankind are in need of redemption. All members of the human race are in need of redemption. We are all slaves under sin. All of us are to that degree. Now, very important, no return redeemer will sell a slave he has purchased. In other words, if Jesus Christ purchased us, He is not going to let us go back. So we have the freedom that we have in this freedom. Then we studied, after the Roman numeral 3, we're now in Roman numeral 4. Jesus Christ is the only qualified redeemer. Qualified. There are people who like to talk about, in other denominations, talk about other qualified redemption. Various people have other redeemers, other redemptions. There's only one. That's Jesus Christ. Why Jesus Christ? In order to become the Redeemer of the world, Christ had to become a member of the human race. Had to become a member of the human race. We are born into the slave market of sin by birth. The imputation of Adam's sin at birth is the basis for spiritual death. Not many people understand spiritual death. Well, we're going to understand it as we continue in this study. Now, let's continue here. No one is condemned on the basis of his personal sins. No one is based on personal sins for our condemnation. For all our personal sins were held until our Lord Jesus Christ came, member of the human race, came to the cross, and died on the cross. They were imputed to his humanity, not his deity. Deity cannot have anything to do with sin, cannot sponsor sin, cannot tempt to sin. Deity cannot sin, nor can deity die for sin. The thought is unthinkable, blasphemous, to even think that God can have anything to do with sin. Therefore, point five. This was why our Lord said a beautiful thing in Psalms 22. I am a worm. Now, this is also very important in one of the Psalms, and with Job. But we're going to look at it in Psalm 22, where he said, I am a worm. Now, what's important here? The type of worm, the different types of worms. The type of worm mentioned in the Bible here was that type which was collected, put into a bowl, and crushed. So the blood came out, and the blood became the crimson dye for the robes of kings. Very small. A lot of worms had to be crushed. And then their blood was caught, trapped, and it was made into the ransom dye for their robes. So, because our sins were imputed to Christ on the cross, we can believe in Him and receive the robe of divine righteousness at the moment of salvation. How marvelous is that? Think about what the worm was doing as far in history. Crushed, the blood used to form dye, crimson dye, for robes for kings. It is used in the Bible to make the robe, the cloth of righteousness that you and I have as salvation. Point six. While personal sins are not the basis of condemnation, let me repeat that. Personal sins are not the basis of condemnation. A lot of people don't understand that. Not because of sins that we're under condemnation. The personal sins are one of three manifestations of our possession of a sin nature. The other two manifestations are human good, evil. The first one is sins, which all of us are born with. You don't become a sinner, we're born with it. When you were born, you became a sinner. Now, seven. So we are born simultaneously, physically alive, spiritually dead. You understand? We were born simultaneously. Two things. Physically alive, spiritually dead. All the cells of our bodies are contaminated for or by the sin nature. Everything. Now, point B. To qualify as our Redeemer, the Redeemer must meet two requirements. Two requirements to be our Redeemer. First, he must be a pure member of the human race to be our Redeemer. He must be the pure member of the human race. That's not all. Secondly, he must be sinless. So he is qualified to bear the judgment of members of the human race. Our Lord's virgin birth began his qualification to be our Redeemer. So I hope we get these things down. The Redeemer must meet two requirements to be the Redeemer. One, must be a member of the human race. Two, he must be sinless. We're all sinful. He had to be sinless. So let's note a couple of things. Since it is only the male. Okay, now this is where we get into a lot of people don't understand. Since it is only the male that carries and can pass on the sin nature. This is to, thanks to you ladies, you are thankful to you. You cannot do this. They're not passed by the female. That means that if a woman could have a virgin pregnancy, that is, if she could be fertilized apart from male copulation, no sexual relationship with a man, the baby could be born into the whole world without the sin nature. Men pass the sin nature. See, men pass the sin nature. Here's the woman. If the man, or every time a man has sex with a woman, she becomes pregnant, she sends sin. Now, let's go back and cover this woman. There she is. If she can become pregnant, having nothing to do with men, she could be give birth to a sinless person. That's what happened to Mary. See? This is what happened to her. And being born without a sin nature, Adam's original sin could not be imputed to that person. See, it's passed down by the men. Every man passes, every time a sexual relationship and gives birth, we pass sin nature. But in history, one woman only. A lot of women wish they weren't, but they all ended up, no, they had to confess. They did get involved with a man. But Mary did not. Mary did not. So, but she was pregnant. Now, I'll just tell you right now, James Mason, I'll come to it in a minute, wrote a book on the idea of the baby, Jesus Christ, childbirth, the virgin birth. And it's a thick book. It has not been answered by any liberal to this day. Can't be answered. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing about what God has done to get Jesus Christ into the history without men and yet of a woman. So, this was the case of the first humanity of Christ, originating from Mary's virgin pregnancy, and Jesus Christ virgin person's birth. Being born without a sin nature, why is that important? Meant that there was no imputation of Adam's original sin to our Lord. You got that? Because he was born, why is it important that Jesus Christ born of the Virgin? Oh, I believe that. Why? Well, that's what the Bible says. We got to understand why. The Bible tells you why. Why it's important that he was born of a virgin. Now, three, this was how our Lord was born as the last Adam. There are two Adams in the Bible. The first, there were a lot of men named Adam, but two as far as their issue in the Bible. The first Adam and the last Adam. The first Adam was created perfect. It must have been just amazing. One point, I wouldn't even say one day, one point, not even there. Next point, there is, wakes up, a genius, about, we're different people at different ages, probably 23, 24, and no sin, no woman either, nothing, just that, but on the earth, all his animals, and God said, name them. That's how smart this man was. I just smile when I listen to people talk about the development of the human race, how they started off in caves and stupid and all this stuff. No. Even the language has become bona fide as perfect. But as time would go on, language became imputed, or became becoming not perfect anymore. Didn't all messed up. Started off perfect, Hebrew, but even it became polluted by history of man. Study English. You think English people, the human race in America, are getting smarter? We can't even speak correctly. In fact, teachers now will pass their students, can't even speak English. Can't even speak it in any type of correct language. That's where we are. So the first Adam, created perfect, sinless. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, was born perfect, sinless. And four, Mary, with her own sin nature, was still a virgin when she became pregnant for the first time, giving birth to our Son, to our Lord. Let's just read a couple of passages. If you want to open your Bibles, Matthew 13. Matthew 18, verse 55. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? His brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? What? People, Mary had other children after Jesus Christ by her husband, Joseph. Look at Mark. Mark chapter 6, verse 3. Mark 6, 3. Is not this the carpenter, talking about Joseph, the son of Mary, and Joseph, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they took and they took offense that he said all of this. Listen, Mary's other children are mentioned in the Bible. So we know she eventually copulated with Joseph. She had at least two daughters and four sons, at least. At least six children by Joseph. So there is no such thing as the perpetual virginity of Mary. Sorry to the Roman Catholic Church. It never happens. I have a good friend, still in his church, years ago, was there. He was a young man. And I taught Mary had other children. He just blew it. Came up afterward. Now, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. And I told him, we went to the Bible, looked at it. He said, can you believe it? They've been lying to me my whole life, telling me that she is a virgin. And a lot of people don't understand the truth of the Bible. Yes.
Where'd you find out about the other daughters and sons?
Do what?
The two daughters, four sons?
Yes.
Where did you find that?
That is in Mark 6, 3. Are not his sisters were here with us? And his four sons, they're listed. Look at Matthew 13:55. Is not this the carpenter's son? Who is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers, here they are, James, Joseph, Simon, Judas.
Oh yeah, okay.
Okay. So, no such thing as perpetual virginity of Mary. There is no virgin children going on in history. No matter how much your daughter wants to claim it was not because of she had involved with a man, just smile and look, say, yes, you were, honey. Say, okay. Now, point five. Mary's virgin pregnancy was used by God, the Holy Spirit, fertilizing her. Now, this is what we're doing is making, just going through it, this the development. First of all, we've heard he was born of a virgin, Mary. How did that happen? Okay, that's point five. God the Holy Spirit virginized Mary. The Holy Spirit provided 23 perfect chromosomes to fertilize her 23 perfect chromosomes, which were uncontaminated by the sin nature. In this way, Mary had a virgin pregnancy. The origin of our Lord's humanity into the world. So the virgin pregnancy resulted in the virgin birth, thus excluding the sin nature from the humanity of Jesus Christ when he was born. Now let's just talk about it, what we've seen. Here we have, we've studied how Jesus Christ was in the world sinless. Second Adam. How did that happen? Now we know that she was impregnated by God the Holy Spirit. How all that happened? I've been asked, did she feel it? I don't know. I do not know. We're not told. I would imagine, but I don't know. But the Holy Spirit impregnated her and she became pregnant with a sinless child. Same. Qualifying him to be the Redeemer of the mankind. Any question on this? All right. Why Jesus? Why Jesus? Six, remember while Mary was a virgin, she was not perfect or impeccable. She was not. She was sinful. Only the virgin born Jesus Christ was absolutely perfect at birth. Seven, when God the Father imputed human life to His human soul, there was no genetically formed sin nature, again, qualifying Him to be the Redeemer of the entire world. Does this make sense? God the Father imputed human life inside of Mary, with no sin, genetically formed no sin nature. Therefore, finally, point eight. So, the virgin birth is the basis for redemption. We started off in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, talking about redemption. Now we finally come to it. Here we have it. The virgin birth is the basis for redemption, because it provided the world with a perfect human being, the only one qualified to be judged for the sins of the world. A slave cannot free itself. So when Jesus Christ became a member of the human race, no sin. He's now qualified to free all sin. Okay, any questions? Understanding Jesus Christ here. Mary. That brings us to C. The contrast between our birth and our Lord's birth. The contrast between our birth and our Lord's birth. When I went through all of this different years ago, putting more of it together, that's how I'd gotten this big. Started off with just one or two little points. But I had to get more and more and more understanding about our Redeemer. Now we're looking at the difference between our birth and our Lord's birth. One, human life is, in each case, created by God and imputed in the womb of the woman. There is life when God imputes it to the human soul. Now, in the womb of Mary, one point, Jesus Christ was there, and God put a human soul. Man is sin, but you had the body and the soul. In fact, we'll come to that in a little bit. In Him. Secondly, simultaneously, at the same time, Adam's original sin is imputed to the flesh nature, to members of the human race. Adam's original sin, at the very beginning, is imputed to the flesh nature of every human being, except the Lord. Genetically, remember that our personal sins are never imputed to us. Do you understand that? Our personal sins are never imputed to us. They were all collected and poured out on Jesus Christ while on the cross, so that He could redeem us from our sins. Now let me repeat that because it's important. Our personal sins are never imputed to us. When you and I were born into the human world, sinners, but not imputed by sins. In other words, yes.
When does a baby get a human soul?
At the point when somewhere in the womb. We're not told when. I wish we were. There are different debates. I was originally taught that it happened at the point of birth. I don't believe that. There's just too many. First of all, there are two people in the Bible mentioned who were alive and children and there in the womb. So that's how God did that. When it happened, we're not told. Some people believe as soon as man and woman come together. I don't know if that's true or not. Some people believe it at the point of the heart beating. I'm closer to thinking that. And so whenever these things happen is when all this happened.
It helps in thinking about when John and when Mary and Elizabeth saw each other and Jesus and John leaped.
Yes, that's what I said.
Yeah.
So it's been had. We've seen it in the womb. So to deny it is to deny the Bible. But we'd like to have a lot more information. We don't have a lot more information. People, there's so many things we do get in the Bible. A lot of people won't study it, but they want to think about what we don't know. Oh, what's heaven going to be like? People, we don't know. We know just enough. I want to be there. He's going to be there. I want to be there. That's what I know. I'll have a body like His. I know that. See? But more people want to, they know that. We want to study this. They don't want to study the things we do know, like redemption. But they want to study, get involved in things we don't even have yet. So let's spend time looking at what we do have. Okay, where are we? Point three, the contrast between our birth and the Lord's birth. First, human life is in each case created by God and imputed to the womb of the woman. There is life when God imputes it in the human soul. Two, simultaneously, Adam's original sin is imputed to the flesh nature, genetically. Remember that our personal sins are never imputed to us. They were all collected to give to Jesus Christ when He was on the cross, not to us. Three, we looked in there and saw our Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, created human life in the womb of His mother. Four, instead of a sin nature, our Lord was born with a human spirit. You and I are not born with a human spirit. Jesus was born with a human spirit. Adam was created with a human spirit. So, in His humanity, our Lord was born filled with the Holy Spirit. He was born what we call trichotomous. Body, soul, and spirit. That's Jesus Christ. You and I are dichotomous. Body, soul. At salvation, we become trichotomous, body, soul, and spirit. For all eternity, we will have a body, the soul, and spirit. You and I will have those for all eternity. Now, B, the imputation of our Lord's retained his Redeemer qualifications. The impeccability, sinlessness of our Lord retained his redeemed, being the Redeemer qualifications. Just three qualities. One, all the doctrines that teach how our Lord was sustained on earth in his humanity all relate to the fact that from the womb he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, people, I know about at the baptism and the Holy Spirit came on him, but don't think for one moment he didn't have the Holy Spirit all the way through. Now, that was given to a picture of us, mankind. What's going to happen? It also gives us the whole understanding of all that he did in the Holy Spirit. But he's always had the Holy Spirit. Adam, in his first point, was given the Holy Spirit. Okay, point two. Therefore, his humanity advanced rapidly. Because he is perfect humanity, his humanity advanced rapidly. Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, and in favor with God and man. Favor with God and man. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Once a believer, that you and I, learns how to be filled with the Holy Spirit by faith, and we walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, begin to rapidly grow spiritually. That does not happen with understanding that comes from our IQ. People in seminary, there'd be this wall filled with books talking about the Bible from unbelievers. Unbelievers. And we had to study them. And then get tests on them. They were not. They were smart. They were not wise into understanding the Word of God. But I studied all this stuff. A lot smarter than I would be, or I am. But they didn't have the Holy Spirit. We've got the Holy Spirit. So point two, therefore his humanity advanced rapidly because of the Holy Spirit. He grew in wisdom, stature, and in favor with God and man. Now, so point three. So, after being born perfect, Jesus Christ continued to live perfectly for his entire life. Some people say 33 years. In the filling of the Holy Spirit. And leading of the Holy Spirit. And learning in the Holy Spirit. His humanity had to learn. Now, not his deity, but the humanity of Christ had to learn. Our humanity has to learn. We're learning every day as we study the Word of God. All our whole life. I don't care if we live to be 105. You want to hopefully that if you're living that life, you can read, study the Bible. Listen to good teachers teaching the Bible. What's going on in the Bible? So, after being born perfect, Jesus Christ continued to live perfectly for 33 plus years And the reason I say that, his crucifixion, his birth, 3 or 4 A.D., B.C. Did you get that? Not A.D., born in B.C. 3 or 4 B.C. He was crucified, we think, somewhere around 30 A.D. So, whatever, it may have even been over that period. It may have been 34, 35 A.D. But the point is, his perfect life, filled with the Holy Spirit, leading of the Holy Spirit, and learning of the Holy Spirit. Not once did he ever sin. Wow. Wow. Most of us started off, first thing we learned was sin. No! See? First thing. Jesus Christ never sinned. He was tempted far beyond anything we will ever understand, but totally apart from sin. He resisted temptation that we might never even experience. The temptations that he agrees. As a result, he reached the cross in a state of impeccability, sinlessness. Couple of verses. Isaiah 53:9. Isaiah 53, that great chapter. Let's jump down to verse 9. His grace was assigned with wicked men. Yet he was with a rich man in his debts, plural. Two debts, spiritual and physical. Because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Now take a look at John, go to the New Testament, the section of the disciples, John 8:46. The reason I say that, that's a section part of the Bible. You've got the genetic, or the general people without Jews. Then you got the Old Testament. That's the Jewish section. And then you have a section that deals with the four Gospels. Then you start with the Paul and the disciples in the New Testament. See? That's Peter in chapter 2 of Acts. So, I like to just emphasize, know that the Gospels, own secret lone part we need to understand. Then we have the Old Testament, the New Testament. Now, John 8:46. Which one of you convicts me? This is Christ speaking. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, and I do, why do you not believe me? They didn't believe he was a sinner, but they didn't believe him. Go to John 19:4. Pilate, an unbeliever, came out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, to the Jews, so that you may know that I find no fault in him." So here is an unbeliever seeing sinless perfection. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin, that's God made it to Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This means that Jesus Christ knew no sin, but on the cross became identified with all the sins of the world, that we might become perfectly righteous. People, I'm sorry that a lot of Christians like to just talk about sinlessness, and we'll see that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. It's a long chapter, a long verse. But I want you to understand something. Sinlessness is only half of our salvation. The other half is righteousness. That's the positive side. The negative side of our gospel is removal of sins. The positive side is necessary, and that's the presence of righteousness. Now let's go to a great book, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. And He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power, when He had made purification of sins. Then He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Sinless, take up the sins of the world, went to the Father. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Go to verse 28 in Hebrews 7. For the law appoints man, for the law appoints men as high priest, who are weak. Okay, history of Israel, all the high priests, appointed high priests, but they're weak. But the word of the oath, which came from the law, appoints a son made perfect forever. Let's look at another one. These are all important passages, but we're just going to read them. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, sent by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on the world, taken up in glory. Now, a great verse in the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Verse 18 of 1 Peter 1, knowing that you were not redeemed. Remember, we're studying redemption. You were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold. What's going on here? That's how slaves are bought in history. They're bought in the history of the world. Hey, that's how they were world. That's how you, a slave gave money. He gave gold. He gave silver. Now, ours, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things, is like silver and gold, from your feudal way of life, inherited from your fathers. Now go to verse 19. But with precious blood, as of the Lamb unblemished, spotless, the blood of Christ, which we've got to study. The blood of Christ. Now we have time to take a look at point E. Let's take a look at point E. The impeccability, sinlessness of our Lord retained His Redeemer qualifications. We've studied ours. These are His now. The impeccability of our Lord retained His Redeemer qualifications. Vital importance of being our Redeemer and Jesus Christ's place in future history. Worthy to open the sealed book of Revelation. Look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Come to a lot of books, Old Testament, New Testament, disciples. Now we come take a look at Revelation, verse 9, chapter 5, verse 9. And they sang a new song. I love this. Talking about music a while ago. Revelation, the book of Revelation, is filled with heavenly singing. It's going to be great. I'll be able to sing that. Right? And they sang a new song. Saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to break its seals. For you were slaughtered, and you purchased people for God, that's mankind, believers, purchased people for God with your blood, your death, from every tribe, language, people, and nation. Let me tell you something. That little phrase, from every tribe, language, people, and that's a book. We got so many people battling today with racial problems and race in this race here in America, race in the world, racial problems, and on and on and on. Look at the Word of God. Jesus Christ redeems us from every tribe, every language, every people, and nation. Everyone. One group. One person. In it. Why is Jesus Christ worthy to take the book and break the seals of the seven sealed book? Why? This is how important our study is. Because He is our Redeemer. There's your answer. Why is Jesus Christ qualified to open the seven sealed book in Revelation? Because He's our Redeemer. You were slaughtered, crucified, and you purchased. You were purchased. That is one of our words for we studied for redeeming, being purchased in a slave market, redeemed. Then we have the phrase, for God with your blood. He was redeemed, qualified to open the seventh seal, for God with your blood. Here again we see the closeness of blood of Jesus Christ and redemption. We'll be studying that. Very few people understand the blood of Christ. Very few people. Now it continues, Revelation 2:9. From every tribe, language, people, and nation, whoever believes in Him, any tribe, any language, any people, any nation. I know a lot of people, and I'm sorry for this, they've got something special about America. It's something really special to God. Let me tell you something. Study history. You had the period of the Germans when you had the Reformation. You had a period when England sent missionaries all over the world. Got America. A period. Probably one of the shortest periods, by the way. Shorter than Germany, shorter than England, is our American area. So it's not anything grandiose over anybody else. It was a period of time when man studied and understood freedom of individuals. Our forefathers, our politicians met to study the Bible at public, at their meetings. I don't know if you know that or not. They met at their, what we understand, politically, publicans, Republicans, Democrats, all these people, they would get together and study the Bible. Right there in the study of their politics. Unbelievable. See? But that's where we are. Okay. But here I want you to know, in the study of the tribes, language, people, the nation, I want you to know how being worthy at the end times is dependent upon His being our Redeemer. What has Allah, Buddha, or any other worship object of worship in religions, what have they done for us? Nothing compared to Jesus Christ being our Redeemer. Nothing. And make no doubt about this. No matter whether they speak of being righteous or not, they all have a list of works that persons have to do. And by the way, I'm telling you, a lot of Christians put lists of works too, to be saved. But if you understand the Bible, if you understand the Bible, our Savior does everything. We do nothing for our salvation but to believe
Amen. In
our Savior. That's it. We do nothing. People like to say we do. You got to be this. You got to do that. No. Nothing. Just simply believe in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm the pastor of study of the Bible, studying redemption. We didn't get very far. We're now at Roman numeral 5. I'm scared. I'm here to teach these things to you. Now, I got further than this going over it with my wife yesterday. Just kind of get ready for this. See? She had to listen to this 2 times yesterday. Now she's going to have to listen to it again. Because I've got to go over it again next week before I'm up here teaching. So, but we'll study it more, 5, 6, and 7, and continue our understanding of redemption. And I'm so thankful to Kit, does all of this work, gets these things going. In fact, I've got some bad news for Kit. I'm going to give him some time to change our page, some pages of some work that I had to do, that I did some work in the birth. So we'll do that, and we'll resume here next Sunday morning with Roman numeral 5, the thinking of Jesus Christ as Redeemer. Think about that. The thinking of Jesus Christ as Redeemer. That's our next study in redemption. Any question on what we studied today? Okay? That means I was perfect. No, it doesn't mean that at all. Doesn't mean that at all. It means you've got to think about it and go over it and then come in. So let's close in a word of prayer and be in prayer for all the people in our church that need our prayers. Be in prayer for Phil. Be in prayer for Kit. Be in prayer for me. Be in prayer for Greg, for Chris. And just be a prayer for each other. Need to be a prayer for each other, people. Let us pray. And Father, we do pray to you about our assembly. Keep us going. keep us financially able. Give us the ability to come and worship, learn, study things that are in the Bible. We praise you, Father. We praise you for the greatness that you have done in regard to our Son, your Son, who is our Redeemer. How marvelous is that? You sent us, your Son, to be our Redeemer. Sinners, you sent us your Son. That just is overwhelming. That's enough for us to think about every day and give you praise and glory. I pray, Father, we take the things we've seen this morning on redemption, because part of our lives, part of our spiritual lives, Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.